Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the third day of September 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. We'll take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility near Logansport, Indiana. Discuss the upcoming Purdue Agronomy Day. That's to be held this Friday. Take a quick look at all of the evening events we have scheduled over the next week. They include an event in Mahomet and one in Watsika, the one tonight in Watsika, in fact, and then next week in Sumner, Tutopolis, and Mount Vernon. Oh, and we'll take up what's been happening in the weather forecast today, too, that with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. He'll tell you more about that cold air push that may or may not be coming to the northwestern part of the Corn Belt as we make our way through this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
I'm checking now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Wednesday afternoon. Nearby corn futures, that's September contract at 3.41 1/4. That's down 14.5 cents today. December 3.52, 11.75 lower in the March, down 11.25 at 3.65 1/4 in the corn pit. May futures 3.73 3/4, down 11 cents. July at 3.80 1/2, 11 lower. And the December of next year at 3.95 3/4, a dime lower on the afternoon. From the soy complex, nearby bean futures at $10.80 3/4, 16.5 cents lower. November at 10.20, that's the new crop, down 12 cents. January at 10.27 1/2, 12 1/4 lower in the March at 10.35, down 12. May futures 11.5 lower, 10.41 1/4, and November of next year at 10.31 1/4, down 10.5 cents. Bean meal futures finished at 4.47.20 in the nearby, down $2.90, and the bean oil on the afternoon at 31.73, 28 cents lower. Live cattle futures finished the nearby contract, that's the October, at 155.42 1/2, up the limit $3 higher. The feeder cattle at 2.23 were up 2.75 for the day, and lean hogs on the afternoon finished $1.65 higher at $101.52 1/2. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey's team is committed to providing resources to today's producers. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Checking the outside markets at this hour, crude oil futures at $95.33 a barrel, up $2.45. The heating oil on the afternoon at $2.86 2/10. That's up 6.5 cents on the afternoon. The RBOB gasoline trading at $2.61 6/10, 7 3/10 cents higher. And natural gas for the day at $3.85 2/10, down 3 8/10. Ethanol futures in the nearby contract, the lead option September at $2.17. Settlement price down 0.4 cents for the day. In the electronic trade, as it looks for the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,063, up 10 points. New York gold at $1,270, $6.25 higher. And the U.S. dollar at 82.89, that's down 0.12 on the afternoon. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon shows us mostly sunny skies, a high of 85 degrees and a south-southwest wind at about 8 miles an hour tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 70 on a south wind at 9 miles an hour, and Thursday, sunny skies and 89. South winds again at 9 to 14, gusting all the way to 21 on Thursday. Thursday evening, partly cloudy and a low of 71 with a southwest wind at 8 to 10, and Friday, a 50% chance of showers from thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high of 86 degrees, a southwest wind at 8 to 10 again. And Friday night, showers and thunderstorms are likely, mostly cloudy, a low of 63, chance of rain. Rainfall set at 60% on Friday night, but clear skies on Saturday with a sunny high of 74 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon, the third day of September. On the phone line is Jackie Beggs. She's from Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. How are you today?
Well, good afternoon, Todd. I'm really fine.
You know what I'm looking forward to most today is our evening event tonight, and it's not very far away. And Watsika will be headed up there as soon as we get done here on the air and be around 4:30, 5 o'clock in Watsika for the first Trust and Savings Bank event. And you, along with Bill Gentry and Steve Fried, will be on our panel tonight.
Well, and it's always really a great, great meeting, Todd. I tell you, I enjoy it when we do it up there every year. It's one of those situations where we have lots of good questions and some pretty exciting reactions once in a while. So I think it's worthwhile for anybody to attend if they can.
Tonight you will have to explain why the market moved lower, but let's start this afternoon with that explanation. What happened in the corn pit today?
Well, I think the first side of it probably comes out of the fact that we had a 74% good to excellent rating on corn. They did not expect anything but unchanged, and beans, of course, along with it, went up to 72% again with only an unchanged. And, you know, they looked at it and said, boy, oh boy, you know, this weather obviously is helping, and a lot of the improvement came in the northern tier. Along with that, came out with the talk about 50% of the crop being completely finished here from a corn standpoint in Illinois by the 12th of September, and even 50% of the North Dakota crop, corn crop, being done by the 29th of September. I think that was a big surprise to an awful lot of people. And so we started to see a downward trend, and then, of course, we had a ceasefire in the Ukraine. And, you know, that Ukraine, you and I have been talking about this for a while, the Ukraine has managed to hold us up somewhat. And so today there just wasn't a whole lot of news there that a bull could bite into and really run with at all. And we just leaked lower, basically. New contract low, basically, is all we did during the session today. It was a tough one.
Well, it was a tough session, but there are some things that have been happening in the marketplace where we have moved from our old crop to the new crop, in particular for corn, and we finally developed a carry in the marketplace. Does that mean anything to you, and what should producers be considering as they look at a carry in the marketplace?
Oh, my goodness. It means everything to me, Todd. I've been just talking with clients like crazy about figuring out when they expect to be marketing corn, because so many guys are talking about storing tremendous amounts of corn at home this year if they can. And what we're doing is we're going out to those particular months and we're protecting the carry. Some guys want to do it using futures. Most guys at the moment are using options, buying a put, selling a couple of calls against it, you know, letting the downside wide open and just sitting back and saying, hey. And, you know, for guys who are going to store at home, when you look at from September to July, the amount of carry in that market pays pretty close for everything you'd have to pay to store at the elevator. Although I'll tell you, I did hear today that there are some elevators charging a 12-cent dump charge and a 30-cent upfront charge, 42 cents just to put it into the elevator. And so if there's anything that's going to motivate guys to keep it at home, it's going to be that, or to try and find a different place to go. But, you know, you cannot expect to hold corn and not protect the carry in the marketplace.
Why not?
Why not?
if you like to
pay for somebody else's, I mean, let's face it, when you're holding corn, you're incurring expenses. You're incurring aeration expenses. You're incurring interest costs. You're incurring opportunity loss. You could use that cash for something else if you wanted to. So if you intend to do that, you need to take advantage of the opportunity that's out there right at this point in time. And, you know, I said to one guy today when we talked about it, the job of risk management is not to try and outguess the market and to say, oh, well, by the time I want to sell, it'll be higher than where it is right now. We don't know that, especially in light of the movement that we've been seeing in the U.S. dollar.
Right, and which brings me to another point. And you've been talking about this one for several weeks now on our air and other places, I'm sure with your clients too. The U.S. dollar has been, strengthening over time.
Yes, it certainly has. In fact, we put in a new 14-month high yesterday. And, you know, that presents a risk to our export business. And I had a guy this morning ask me, he said, well, won't these lower prices just increase demand? Well, you know, technically, if you look at it just straight on the face, yes. But Japan now has, again, regained its position as the largest corn buyer from us, so I use them. And so how does this move in the dollar affect them? I use 355 bushel of corn from today. Last week it was 367 to them. This week it's 372. Gulf basis stayed the same, plus 91. Now that's what they're paying at the Gulf, so you know they're charging them more. But if we just use the 91 cent, that means that corn was 458 last week. This week it's 463, and now add shipping onto that. And, you know, China, which had a record year of imports for beans this year at 2.58 billion bushels, how it impacts them. And their currency, Todd, doesn't float quite the same as other people's, but it still has an impact. And I looked from the May time frame until now. If you took a $10.20 bushel of beans, it's $10.37, and then you add $1.08 for what they're paying down charging down at the Gulf, that's $11.45 before shipping. How long does it take before we start to have people sit back and say, I'm not going to do it? You know, right now China's sitting back. They're not buying from South America. South Americans are complaining like crazy. It's because they're waiting for this big crop to come on here because they expect they're going to get a much better price. So we have to be able to take the picture and look at the whole picture, not just part of the picture. In other words, you know, low prices cure low prices, not necessarily in the face of a rising dollar.
So your expectation would be that imports might level off or go down, or exports, I mean, level off or go down, or what is your thought process here?
Well, what we're all hoping for, Todd, is that we're going to pick up that extra $200 million that USDA didn't build into the report so far. You know,
so that we would have 1.9, yeah.
Right, you know, and so everybody, including myself, would hope that would be the case. If we do continue to slide higher on the dollar, I would expect that the likelihood of that happening continues to get lower. And if that's the case, you know, that's just an extra 200 million bushels that we're not going to get rid of. It's not about being scared. It's about doing risk management. It's about saying, is this likely and can it happen? And yes, that's absolutely the way it is. So I think at this point in time, we look at it and say, could we have a 2 billion bushel carryout? If indeed you believe the numbers that came out yesterday, 14.4 billion, 14.59 billion on corn, I don't know if I believe those or not, and they definitely depend on weather. But even anything above 14 billion is going to add to carry out unless we can move it in the export market. And so I don't want to see a 2 billion bushel carry out. I just don't want to see that. That is going to depress prices even further than where they are right now, for next year especially.
Well, those were some big numbers. One other item we probably should discuss just shortly before I let you go for the afternoon, then we get on our way towards Watsika, is the Ukraine. They're under a ceasefire at the moment.
They are, and, you know, of course, we're seeing more threats of sanctions against Russia. Now, some of these sanctions that are coming out are sounding pretty silly to me. The EU came out and said, oh, we want to do a sports sanction. In other words, they can't have the World Cup. I don't see where that's going to have a big impact. But one thing that did happen today was France actually did not deliver the assault Navy ship that they had sold to Russia that was supposed to be delivered this week. They said, no, we're not doing it. And so some of that is beginning to happen. The part that people, I think, miss sometimes is those sanctions. You know, we can hear everything about sanctions, but that hurts the EU economy. And if that hurts the EU economy, that has a trickle-down effect. And what investors from the EU then do is, just like we saw back in 2008, 9, and 10, they come here and they invest in our dollar. So that's another threat from a dollar standpoint. You know, and you talk about economies. I mean, Argentina's having all kinds of problems. Brazil is having some problems. In fact, they're talking now that they're going to actually plant shorter maturity beans to try and avoid any fungicide costs, which means they'll be competing with us in December this year if they do go through with that. But you look at the cost to plant in Mato Grosso right now is estimated at $9.75 to $10.10, depending upon the exchange rate and the yield. And last year, GMOs ran about 838, non-GMOs 865, and corn on average, this is for all the states in Brazil, ran 440 for full-season corn, 451 for short-season corn. Those numbers are not going to pencil when you look at where things are at this point in time. So from an overall picture, we have to very much have ourselves prepared for the, you know, the world economy. We're making an adjustment in the grain market.
Hey, thanks so much, and I'll see you in just a bit.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. That is Jackie Bakes, and in fact, I will see her in just a bit as we head towards Watsika this afternoon for one of our Will Ag Outlook panels. She'll be on the panel along with Steve Freed from ADM Investor Services and Bill Gentry from Risk Management Commodities.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Have you checked out the Outlook Meetings calendar on our homepage at willag.org? It is chock full over the next week and a half. Here's the list. It starts tonight at 4:30 in Watsika, downtown, in fact, there at the corner of 3rd Street and Walnut. Just look for the great big tent. This one's sponsored by First Trust and Savings Bank. Steve Freed will be with us tonight. He's from ADM Investor Services out of Chicago, Illinois. Bill Gentry from Risk Management Commodities and Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson. That all tonight starting at 4:30 for registration, 5 for the meal, 6 o'clock for our Will Ag panel. And then tomorrow evening we'll be in Mahomet, really close here to Champaign-Urbana at the Farm Credit Illinois office. That's part of a series of programs we're having in the Farm Credit Illinois offices in the southern part of the state. I'll talk to you a bit more about the rest of those momentarily, but tomorrow night, Jonathan Kappas from the U of I will take up our ARC and PLC, the decision farmers will have to make in the next 6 months or so. Ellen Dearden of Ag Review will be there, and Jason Clapp of Risk Management Commodities to talk about the commodity markets. That one starts at 6 o'clock with the meal, and then we'll talk about ARC and PLC and the commodity markets immediately following that. That's at the Farm Credit Building in Mahomet. On Friday, I'll be at Purdue for their Agronomy Day. More on that in just a moment, too. On Monday, I'll be in Sumner, Illinois, along with Jonathan Kappas at 6 o'clock. That's at Red Hills Lake State Park. We'll be there at the Trace Inn. It's right on the shoreline in the state park. Jonathan Kappas is going to take up the ARC and PLC decision. That's Monday night in Sumner, Illinois, down south. South from here as well, near Effingham and Tutopolis, will be at the Knights of Columbus on September the 10th. That's a 6 o'clock meal, followed by the meeting. Gary Schnitke will be with us to take up the ARC PLC decision, and Chip Nellinger and Dale Durkles on that night, September the 10th, in Tutopolis, September the 11th. We'll have Gary Schnitke, Matt Bennett, and Pete Manhart in Mount Vernon. And then the following week, we'll be in deep southern Illinois, somewhere near Harrisburg. I'll tell you more about that a bit later. If you want to catch one of those programs and find all the information out about them, you can just call this number, 217-333-7300. That's the radio station phone number. They'll be able to give you the information. Or, more likely, you can go online at willag.org. That's willag.org. And you'll see the information over on the right-hand side of the page. You'll have to click the link to the Outlook Meetings calendar. Now up next, Brian Overstreet is on the phone line. He's here to talk a little bit about this Friday's Agronomy Day over at Purdue at the Beck Agricultural Center. Brian, thanks for being with us. This is the revival of an event that, well, shut down about 10 years. I'm looking forward to coming over.
A return event. This is the, for years, the agronomy farm just north of West Lafayette, northwest of town a little bit, had a field day for many, many years. And about 10 years ago, that the field day disappeared, and we're trying to get it back again. And some extension educators, along with the agronomy department, have been working together for several months now, trying to get the field day going again, and we're looking forward to having it. We're starting out with a breakfast that morning, if you can pre-register, and we'll have speakers from campus speaking, and then about 9 o'clock we're going to move out to the field on weeds, fungicides, soybeans, nitrogen management, and then soil health will be our stops. It'll be a round robin tour. Basically, you get on the tour wagon and just make, you'll see all five stops when you, when we start. We'll all start at the Beck Center, leave from the Beck Center and go out to the, most of the stops, I think, are at the Diagnostic Training Center, the DTCs. That we're borrowing their plots for the day.
Now, where exactly is the Beck Center?
It is on US 52 and I guess it's 231. Also, is both right there, just between West Lafayette and Middle Town of Mount Morenci, be northwest of West Lafayette, about 5 miles or so.
And Sonny Beck and Company from Beck's Hybrids helped out at some point, and there's a really nice building. This one's a gorgeous building, a machine shed of sorts, but it's air-conditioned and a great place to have an agronomy day
and all kinds
of other events.
Yeah, it's I don't know if I've ever called it a machine shed, but it does have big doors where they can bring equipment in if they need to. To demonstrate.
So a couple of important things. This is a new beginning for the agronomy day that's there at the Beck Center at that research farm. It hasn't been there for about 10 years and is a cooperative effort between those of you in the state and campus. Starts at 6:30 a.m. You'd like to have people pre-register for the breakfast part, but if they don't come for the breakfast, they can just show up about 8:30 because we won't send, and I'll be there.
That'll be
we won't send anybody out in the field till about 9 o'clock.
And that's the 8:30, 9 o'clock
Eastern
is
time.
Eastern time. And, the registration starts at, if you're for the breakfast, would start at 7:30 Eastern time or 6:30 Central time.
Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry. So I think I did say 6:30. So that's 6:30 my time. That's what time I need to be there in the central time zone, but 7:30 in the eastern time zone. Then an hour later than that, if you just want to show up, about 8:30 in the eastern time zone, 7:30 central if you want to go out on the tours. It should be a really good day on Friday, Brian. I'm really looking forward to it, I got to tell you.
We've been working hard on it, getting some excellent speakers. Like I said, we've got several of the extension specialists from the couple different departments working on it, and so it's, and it, like you said earlier, it's kind of a joint venture between the Area 9 extension educators and with campus, so it's kind of a hybrid here at the Gromley Farm.
Absolutely. Hey, we'll see you Friday, Brian, and hopefully we'll have a great day.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
Brian Overstreet is with Purdue Extension. Agronomy Day on the Purdue campus, actually at the Beck Agricultural Center on Route 52, just west of West Lafayette, Indiana, kicks off at 7:30 a.m. with breakfast and the guest speakers. So they do start at 7:30. I think Brian and I had some numbers a bit wrong. That's at 7:30 Eastern time on Friday morning. Breakfast and the guest speakers until 8:45, and then from 9 to noon, we'll be on the rack wagons out in the field, checking out all the research that Purdue is doing. You can see the detailed program on our website and all the breakfast and registration information at willag.org. Just look for the Outlook Meetings calendar. You're going to need to click on that, and then you'll find the Beck Agricultural Center and Purdue's Agronomy Day. Again, starts at 7:30 in the Eastern Time Zone at the Beck Agricultural Center on Route 52. I can't wait to see you there.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's National Welsh Rarebit Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1752, people rioted in the streets, thinking that the British government had swiped 11 days of their lives when September 3rd became September 14th. Pope Gregory XIII dropped the Julian calendar and adopted the Gregorian calendar. By the way, some other countries, including Russia, did not adopt the new standard till the 20th century. In 1827, John E.W. Keeley, an American inventor, created quite a stir when he claimed that he had discovered a new physical force powered by good old H2O. He suggested he could produce what he called intermolecular vibrations of ether from a single quart of water, enough fuel to move a 30-car train from Philadelphia to New York City. In 1875, Ferdinand Porsche was born. He was an Australian engineer who designed the VW Beetle in 1935. In 1883, Harold DeForest Arnold was born, an American physicist. His research led to the development of long-distance radio communication. He oversaw the first transcontinental demonstration of radio telephone in 1915. The signal went from New York City to Arlington, Virginia, then to San Francisco, and finally to Hawaii. Arnold later became the first director of research at Bell Telephone Labs. And in 1912, the first cannery opened in England. It was to supply food to the Royal Navy. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for this market report comes from Country Financial, providing generations of Central Illinois farmers with crop hail insurance programs for individual producers, immediate family member, or tenant-landlord relationships. More information is available from your local Country Financial representative or at country-crop.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner is on the phone line from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Tell me about the weather forecast as we bring the corn crop into maturity.
Well, we are going to have a little bit of moisture to deal with yet over the coming week. More rain and thunderstorms for some areas that certainly don't need any more moisture. I think everybody in the Midwest will actually get rain at one time or another between now and, oh, let's say, the first part of next week. But we do have a couple of drier air masses that are slated to move across the region. The first one is going to occur here as we get into the weekend. A nice little shot of cooler air coming up. We're not expecting it to have any kind of a negative connotation on any of the crops in the Midwest, but over the weekend we will see this cooler mass coming along. In fact, it'll already be in the western corn belt on Friday afternoon. We'll look for the high temperatures at that point in the western corn belt, probably no warmer than about 60s and lower 70s. That would be from Nebraska to Minnesota and Wisconsin. The rest of the Midwest will likely still be very warm through Friday, but on Saturday and Sunday, temperatures will cool off into mostly 70s across a big part of the region, and our low temperatures at night will be mostly 50s. We'll look for upper 40s in the far northwest and a couple of lower 60s in the far south. And, of course, the big noise in the marketplace today is the much colder air mass that's being advertised for next week across Canada and the northern U.S. plains. And the last couple of computer forecast model runs have been trying to force a lot of this cold air into the northwest half of the Corn Belt. And I think it's all rather overdone, to be honest with you. But if it were to verify, there would be frost and freezes in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt most easily. About a week from now, it'd be more likely the end of next week, actually. But this is too far out in time, and I hope that the marketplace recognizes that. But in the meantime, there's going to be a lot of worry out there over the weather coming up for late next week.
If you look around the rest of the globe, what do you see?
Well, I'm looking at Australia. Had a little bit of frost this morning in some of their wheat, barley, and canola production region, and that may have caused a little bit of damage to some of the crops there. It was not quite cold enough to cause serious crop damage, but there may have been some injury done to some of the crops there. The other issue in Australia is that they are reproducing in Queensland and northern New South Wales, which is kind of the northeastern part of their winter crop region, and it's rather dry. They need moisture in order to support the best yield potentials, and there's not a lot of that in the pipeline for right now. Outside of that, you know, China still looks very good. India looks better than usual. The monsoon's not going to withdraw as quickly as it should, and that means all those crops that were planted in about 4 or 5 weeks later than normal will actually have an opportunity to capitalize on the late season rains, and they may yield better than expected.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today, Drew.
You bet. Have a good day.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Be sure to visit our website. You can hear Drew again at willag.org and find all the places I'll be in the next week. We start tonight in Watsika, tomorrow in Mahomet, Friday at West Lafayette at the Beck Agricultural Center for Agronomy Day, Monday I'll be in someplace I don't remember, on Wednesday to Topless, and on Thursday down in Mount Vernon. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.